welcome to episode 217 of the Muck Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the weird and sometimes dark true story.
That's not right. Oh, I'm keeping that in. It's so good.
Oh my God. Okay, take two. Welcome to episode 217 of the Muck Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird true stories in American politics. I'm Tina Jaramillo.
And I'm Hillary Doherty.
Hillary.
Hi.
You would think I would know the words by now.
Yeah. I can't believe you still read it off that thing.
I don't know what it is. It's I think it's like, I don't know if I can do it. Try.
I'm going to cover it up. Welcome.
Welcome to episode blah, blah, blah of the Muck Podcast. Listen in as we discuss the dark and sometimes weird true stories in American politics. Okay, I did it. It's taking me five years.
You did it.
Don't put me on a debate team. I won't remember anything.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Oh. Girl. Oh, what a week, bitch. You've been home all week. I've been home on spring break. That's nice.
Yeah, we had a good week so far. We just
Kate asked me what I was going to do with the kids for spring break. I'm like, well, my kids have two different spring breaks.
That's the worst.
So I'm like, well, my daughter's sitting at my ex-husband's right now, and my son will be sitting at my house next week.
I should have taken your daughter with us when we went to mini golf.
Let me tell you something. Oh, hold on. Yeah. She has been trying to organize like a beach day with her friends for 3 months, and the frustration of this girl of trying, because she's at the mercy of what parents can bring them, right, and like who can go when, and it's during spring break, you'd think everybody would have time, but like, no, she needs to get picked up because her parents work, and like, oh my God, I feel so bad for her. And it was supposed to happen Thursday and it didn't happen. And aww. I was like, oh, I feel so bad.
That's the worst. And yeah. I mean, we just like rode our bikes and we didn't do, no. I mean, I'm saying when I was a kid, like,
oh yeah, we didn't do anything either.
We didn't plan. Like, it would just be like, you just showed up at someone's house.
That's the other part.
But now you don't show up at people's houses like you used to. We just did, what did we do? We did mini golf one day. Mm. I think that was really the only fun thing we did, and just kind of, you know, video games.
We did something pretty fun this week. One of your kids was there.
Yes.
Yes.
He wants to go back.
So Monday night, you know, I go to trivia. We talked about this.
Oh yeah, I went there. I showed up.
I went
late.
On Monday night. You came. We were in first place the entire fucking time, and then what happens? We get that final question. The final question, and Alfredo goes, "Just bet it all. Big deal. Who cares?" Oh well. Yeah, that got me nothing. I dropped us in like eighth place.
Oh my God.
But then Tina found another trivia at a different place on Wednesday night, and we went to that and we fucking won.
Yeah,
we fucking won.
We killed it.
And Tina's son was there. He was very helpful.
He was helpful.
I think
there
was like two or three questions. He knew the answers, and I was like,
yeah,
thank God.
I didn't know either.
Which, what's his name from The Simpsons?
Barney?
The neighbor.
Flanders.
Flanders starts a singing group on The Simpsons, beat the B Sharps. What is the musical style? And I was like, And your son knew that
we
it was Barbershop. Oh my God. So good.
Well, I mean, my other son watches The Simpsons enough. Yeah. If we didn't get that answer right.
Yeah.
Although I probably would have gotten it wrong because it's on, but I'm not watching every episode with them.
Yeah.
My God. And he knew a music question.
Yeah, and the literature one, I was like, Tina, and she knew it.
Yeah, but we all knew that one.
Wait, what was it?
It's like the Iliad. It was Homer.
Yeah, it was really easy. That was too easy.
That was too much pressure.
And the education question, you got that one, the kindergarten.
Oh, I felt that was like easy too.
Yeah, I kept saying, is it Montessori? And then you said kindergarten. I go, oh yeah, that's definitely the German.
Oh,
anyway, we won. We got first place.
We won.
Okay, sit the fuck down. Yes. Sit down.
Don't come at us, man.
Are you fucking kidding me? You trying to come at me with trivia? Although as soon as they say sports, we all go, boo.
I know.
Get the fuck. We're done.
Did we get the sports one right?
I don't think so. I don't think of baseball. It was like something about baseball. Yeah, like,
what country
have they been playing in?
Oh, yeah.
And we said Japan.
We were close, though.
It was like South Korea.
Yeah,
South Korea.
We were close. So I felt.
We're in the right vicinity.
Yes. I mean, I was like saying Cuba. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I knew it
and
was
you're
something
like, I don't think
Asian
so.
Because of that pitcher who they got on the Dodgers now or something.
I don't know, man.
I pick up on some news things and then they just sit there and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. So let me, first of all, welcome back my wonderful, beautiful angel cousin, Melanie, who was a patron for years, like from the beginning.
Yes.
And then she stopped for a few months and she's like, I'll be back, I promise. And she is back.
She is back.
So thank you, Melanie. Aww. Thank you so much for joining us on there. I hope you enjoy it. Y'all should come join us on Patreon.
Yes.
Last week was fun on Patreon. We told all kinds of funny stories.
We did.
Crazy, you know, some like we didn't know this was a date story.
Yeah.
Tina. Oh my God. When I was editing that, I was like, this bitch is crazy. every time.
Oh my God.
What did I say that to the other day? I said, every time Tina opens her mouth to tell me a story, there's like another onion that gets pulled away. And I'm like, what the fuck? What was Tina up to?
Oh my God.
Anyway, thank you for joining us again.
I was up to no good.
Melanie, love you. Thank you so much.
Yay.
What you got? I got a lot.
Just go, because okay. I'm sure we have some overlap.
There was a New York Times article where they analyzed, which we talked about last week, but Trump's legal bills and how much he's been paying.
Yeah.
They analyzed, like ran the numbers, and he has spent, since he left office, he has spent $100 million on legal bills, and they calculated it to be more than $90,000 a day in legal bills.
I don't even know how.
And of course,
can pay
he's not
that.
Paying any of that, right? Like, it's all coming out of these donations and like this, like now the Bibles.
This Bible.
Girl. Oh my God. I just saw the funniest fucking. I got to play
the
this.
Bible,
I got to play this video.
So
oh my God.
That Bible, while you're looking this up,
yeah.
The fact that one, it's got an American flag like embossed on the cover.
Oh.
And then that it's not just the King James version of the Bible, but it's the King James version that also has the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in it.
Yeah.
It's the
Our forefathers are rolling in their graves, y'all. Like, that's
who's paying $60, not including tax and shipping,
all these people.
Like, so what the biggest, I mean.
Girl, this girl
fools.
Made a TikTok and it's. Reading more passages from the new Trump Bible.
Oh.
Girl, this shit is so funny. Hold on. I saw the thing. I don't know. I got to look up the name, but anyway.
Jesus turned to his disciples and said, why are all these people from these shithole countries coming here? By the way, I'm the least racist person you've ever interviewed. And on the seventh day, Jesus filed for bankruptcy for the seventh time. That's my favorite from chapter 11. Jail 3:16, Jesus says, there's nobody that has more respect for women than I do. He continues later. I moved on her like a bitch. I couldn't get there, and she was married. Then all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. Oh, here's an editor's note. It says, Judas's name will be changed to Mike Pence. And now for my favorite part of every Bible. We the people of the United States of America.
Oh my God.
Mary turned to Jesus and said, I really don't care. Do you? Thou shalt not.
Ooh, remember that?
Ooh.
Girl.
Wow.
Great clip, by the way.
Great.
Kudos,
clip.
Bitch. She was a white girl. And not a white girl. She was a white girl. Good for you, lady.
Wow.
Good for you. Way to stand up against Trump. Woo! Oh my God, that Bible. He will do whatever. It's like,
golden
by the way,
shoes,
it's almost as if some, who
Bible?
Wrote this? Who wrote the script on this? Because they were, it's like something out of a Hollywood movie.
It's weird.
That this is actually a real person doing these real things. He's playing in our fucking faces.
And people are going to buy these stupid these cheap ass. I bet you they're all printed in China. You know what
absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. Remember that clip where he was on, shit, what show is it? Was it Jimmy? No, it wasn't Jimmy Fallon. Maybe it was like one of these late night shows and he was on there when he was running for president and he kept going, was it Letterman? I don't know. This is where it was made. It was made in China. The things were it was so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's almost as, it's like you just peel back one piece of paper and there's all the evidence. This isn't a big, it's like, right in your face. It's in your face.
There's nothing covert about this. It's just like blatant.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wonder how many Bibles he's selling.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot.
He's selling a lot.
And if you can be duped that easily, you know, you deserve to be duped. You deserve to lose all your money to this, you know.
Yeah. The other thing was the big announcement about Monday.
Okay, the Florida. Yeah.
From the Florida
Supreme Court.
Supreme Court which is going to be on abortion. And I think about marijuana. I think those are both the two big things.
So we've had a 15-week abortion ban that was from actually three sessions ago. And it was immediately challenged in court. And so everything stays exactly where it is. It's at 15 weeks right now. Oh, I'm sorry. The six-week abortion ban. Was from two sessions ago. And that's what's being challenged. So right now we have 15 weeks. You can have abortion up to 15 weeks in Florida.
But if they,
and it's a safe space. It's it's where women are coming to get abortions now, right? They're flooding into the state to get abortions because there's nowhere in the South where you can get that. So 6 weeks is being challenged. They're challenging it. They challenged it on a privacy, right to privacy issue. You know, our fucking wombs and our bodies, government stepping into our womb. And the Supreme Court, we've been waiting since October, November to hear this. And every Thursday waiting for an answer.
We still haven't heard.
And
we
a couple days ago was at the end of March here, was it the 28th, was the last day the Supreme Court was supposed to issue their rulings. And they came out saying, we're going to extend it to Monday. So Monday at 4 o'clock, April 1st, April Fool's Day, we are going to know whether if they uphold this, then in 30 days, the 6 week abortion ban goes into effect, which is a heartbeat bill. And they call that a heartbeat bill because that's when you're supposed to first hear the heartbeat. But most women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. They're not going to hear a heartbeat. At 6 weeks, they're surprised to find out they're pregnant. And then they're also going to be surprised to wake up and find out that the state of Florida will not allow them to have an option of whether they want to have a child or not. You are going to have that child if you can't afford to leave the state and find health care somewhere else.
My God.
Welcome to the fucking free state of Florida.
My God.
The other thing is, you know, because we live in a fucking democracy, we have laws that allow us as residents of this state, to file petitions to change our constitution. And this year, or 2023, many, many activists around the state and many people, Republicans and Democrats, signed a petition to put abortion on the ballot so that we, the people of Florida, decide whether we want abortion to be legal. Not the 50 whatever fucking people that are pulling the strings, these white motherfuckers, white dudes and women pulling the strings in Tallahassee. Not DeSantis is going to tell me what the fuck to do. We get to decide. Over a million people signed that petition. Then Ashley Moody, the state attorney, she challenges the language on the petition and she brought that in front of the Florida Supreme Court. Now, I think they're going to allow it.
They have to allow it.
They were arguing with her in court and it didn't sound like people know how to read.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to get the 6 week abortion ban. I think they're going to uphold it and say that it's not against, there's no right to privacy for women, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they're going to allow the petition to go through. And they also challenged the marijuana petition, trying to make marijuana legal, which we've already done here. But
Monday is going to be crazy. And, you know, the thing, I feel like the abortion issue is spilling into so many other things for women. It's really, all of this is about controlling women and controlling women's bodies. I've been seeing more and more, and I think just because I'm reading news articles about it, but there, and I've talked about it on this podcast before, but there is this movement of young dudes, you know, all kind of dudes, like, you know, every race, but guys, you know, in their like 25 to 35 kind of range that have these expectations of women and like that a woman's sole purpose is just to serve their man, like that kind of language, this like alpha male movement.
Mm.
And now we have even women in New York. Have you heard about that? The women walking down the street in New York, they're getting punched in the face by men. It's been, I've been reading a few articles on it. Like they're just walking down the street and they're getting punched in the face. Like just randomly somebody comes up and punches them and then, you know, and they're posting videos. And now there's like also like a race issue tied with it because it's, you know, white women that are getting hit. And I guess things have been happening to women of color that haven't been amplified. But now that like these white ladies are getting on to young, but it's all young, you know, girls in their like 20s, you know, like they're picking people who are like vulnerable or who they think won't fight back. And they're like punching them in the face while they're walking down the street.
What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
By the way, do you not see the correlation between Trump and the disintegrating of the way that we feel about women and their roles and the rise of that evangelical shit? That's all tied to it.
Yeah, it's fucked up, man. It is.
I don't even understand, like, what the fuck did we do? Why are we as women always the ones? Why are we as the gender the ones to take the brunt of all of this? What fucking reason why? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand. What the fuck?
Again, it's that, you know, fragile males, you know, like they can't handle, they've bought into this whole family dynamic. They've bought into, you know, all of these ideas about how things used to be and how things used to be for women was you couldn't even open a bank account. You couldn't have a credit card. You couldn't refuse sex to your husband if you wanted to. You know, there's all of these things that people don't realize that women have fought for decades and decades and decades and decades for. And you know, we're about to throw everything away. It's crazy. And any woman out there who is going to check the box next to Trump, I feel like you deserve what you get. But I don't deserve that. You know what I mean? And Hillary doesn't deserve it. And every other woman that we know doesn't deserve it. It just pisses me off. Like you're going against your own interests. It's crazy.
I'm at a loss. I just can't even imagine. I can't imagine my daughter walking down the street and somebody punching her in the fucking face. Yeah. Like, I don't, where is this anger and violence coming from? Why? What? What is it? Is it online? Is it what you're reading? Is it what they're seeing? Is it justifying this? Like, what the fuck are you doing? And by the way, like, there's something about life being way too short to be involved in shit like this. Like, you know what I mean? It's way too short to be this fucking angry when there's so much more in life that is offered to you. So much more in life that you can have. If you work a little hard, have a nice place to live. Maybe it's frustrations with all of that. You can't find jobs because you think women are taking them or people of color.
Right.
You have no place to live because it's too expensive. That we're all suffering from that.
Right. So stop voting Republican. So that we can get a handle on the property tax, the politics aside,
why are these dudes so fucking angry? Why are they so fucking angry?
I think because, you know, you had a group that were like, you know, the power group forever. And now maybe they feel like, hey, it's my time.
That's right.
And now society is
no longer revolving around them.
Right. And they want to blame women for it. Wow. And I think there's a lot of dudes who are like, well, that's not me. I don't benefit from anything. I don't benefit. And it's like, yeah, okay, you personally may not benefit from something.
Fucking cry,
but we're
babies.
Talking about the dynamic as a whole.
Fuck you.
Right?
Dude.
Like, it can't
Fuck
be like,
you.
It's just like when you're like, oh, you know, not all men. Yes, we know it's not all men, and we know it's not all this, and we know it's not, but we're talking about a systemic issue that is larger than
yourself.
You
know who needs to handle this? You guys do. Dudes. Call these motherfuckers in. Call them in. You know friends that are like this, that say sexist jokes, that bring their fucking sons to Hooters, that talk shit about women this way, say disgusting things because they think they're funny, they're being provocative. Call them out. It's not funny. This is where it starts. That's on you. Leave us the fuck out of it. We've had it. We're done. We've got enough to fucking handle. We can't sit here and try to figure out why you're angry.
Yeah.
Okay? We can't figure out. Because I know why we're
feelings.
Angry. Yeah. I know why we're upset. But I have no idea why you and your dick are upset. Yeah. And no, not when the fucking world is at your feet. Especially, most importantly, if you're a white dude. The world is at your feet. If you don't have things or you don't, that's on you. You'll figure that out. But, you know, you guys need to call your friends out. This is bullshit. Fuck this. You know... it's just plagued us since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
White men taking things that don't belong to them. Now they're angry because what? DEI.
Oh my God. I mean, this whole bridge
soft
thing.
Motherfuckers. It's pussy crybaby bitches. That's what you are. You punch women because you're a fucking pussy. Punch me. It'll be the last motherfucking thing you do. Mm. All right. Oh, let's talk about this bridge, by the way. You know how much I love Baltimore with my wire, the wire.
Know.
I was very upset. And watching that video that morning when I woke up, I was fucking floored. I was shocked. I was terrified. You see that last car get over, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God. Seconds later, that bridge was gone.
Anytime you drive over a bridge, like you have that, you know, that tiny little fear.
Yes.
And the fact that this,
here we go,
the ship is coming from Singapore, right?
Oh, girl, this is what I'm talking about.
It's like all of a sudden they turn it into a racial issue. It's a, and listen, this was a tragic accident. Like they, it wasn't like they deliberately drove into a bridge. Like they tried everything they could to prevent this from happening. They tried to even, they contacted people. They tried to stop off the bridge. Like they did what they could. But then I saw Pete Buttigieg. Yeah, he came out and he was talking about like the clearance and how that there may have been not racially motivated factors involved, but like the fact that they were like, oh, well, people who are going to be on this bridge, we don't need that clearance because they mainly go this direction, whatever it is. But it's all about, and then this lady was talking about how like racial infrastructure and how things are built where they take race into account.
What?
Yeah, it was
but
a whole...
But this bridge has been there.
But the original, like, building of that bridge, I guess, with the clearance.
This is what I mean. Like, we don't need to do this.
Right. No, but...
I get it, but also, the bridge is there. First of all, if you look at that map, there's all port. It's a port city, Baltimore. Right. But, of course, that's because we're workers. Is that what you mean? Like, that's where the neighborhoods, people of color live in those neighborhoods? I mean, my point is... The boat was not trying to take people out.
No.
They blame DEI because Baltimore's a black city, y'all.
Oh, they came after that mayor.
The DEI mayor, he's a black mayor. Most of their mayors have been black in the history of that city. Most of the people who run the city are black. It is a black city, like a Memphis or New Orleans, right? Like, what are we talking about? Stop it. Stop it. It's the immediacy to... we've got that Marjorie Taylor Greene with the same thing. I don't know. Maybe it was a terrorism attack. We have to look into it.
God.
Literally, things happen. If this was 20 years ago, we would have been watching this and going, oh my God, like
this is
what
terrible.
Has happened? The safety precautions, what broke down? What happened? Now it's like immediately for clicks, for attention, for people to pay, you know, look at it. They will say whatever it takes and they're not embarrassed by it. Like not embarrassed in the fucking least. And you know who I love so much is my David Simon, because he's the writer and creator of The Wire.
I think you sent me this, right?
Oh, my God.
So this
tweet is fucking nuts.
This racism is so blatant. It's so, and it takes away from people working together, right? Right.
Yeah.
As soon as you start saying like this is, you know, terrorist, that this is, you know, you start blaming the other for these things. It's just, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Instead of, oh my God, this is a tragedy. Like, what can we do to help? They immediately use it for their own political gain. It's disgusting. I'm so sick of it all.
That's the worst part. The worst part is all of this takes away from this tragedy. And I want to tell you something else. I heard on a podcast yesterday that there's Republicans in the House because, of course, the Biden administration and most normal people in Congress were saying we're going to do whatever it takes to get Baltimore back on their feet. This bridge is necessary and the port is necessary, which no one can move through that channel right now, for getting goods around the world. And they need the bridge to be fixed. And the Biden administration says we're going to do whatever it takes to get Baltimore back on their feet. We're talking about people's jobs, livelihoods, gone. Not to mention the fucking lives of people that were fucking lost, that were working on the bridge.
Right.
These are the folks that will never be able to retire at 69.
Right.
Right? These are the guys who they're saying should work until they fucking die. Well, they did. They're working on the fucking bridge, dude. There's no, when you mock something or do something for clicks and there's people's lives have been lost, we are done as a humanity. The humanity is gone.
We are.
So this
I'm so sick of social media, really. Like, I try not to be on it much at all anymore.
So Anthony Sabatini, who we know as a House rep in Florida, is
disgusting.
A racist, disgusting piece of shit.
Disgusting.
Okay.
Disgusting.
And now he's the chair of their Republican Party in the county where he lives. Lake County. Some fucking, some place where I know they got KKK.
In the middle of, the middle of nowhere, Florida.
At the beginning of their county, the beginning of the Republican county meetings, they light a fucking cross.
Oh my God.
Anyway, he wrote DEI did this when he shared the video. So David Simon, who's clever and lovely and the best writer, so fucking good. He wrote, now I've never seen a burn like this, girl. I have never in my life. I was like, what? He said, your mother, he said, DEI did this. And he said, your mother did you. But after a hard life of service on a truck stop lot, can we really hold her loosened, battered womb responsible for dropping you headfirst on the Winnebago floor and burdening our society with another empty racist demagogue thereafter? We cannot.
Ooh, no, we can't.
Holy shit.
No, we can't.
Don't come for Baltimore. No. Don't come for it. Because we got people who are going to tell you your mother was a whore at the stop and dropped you on your head from her loosened womb. Holy shit. That, do not come on the internet and try to burn people because it's not going to happen.
I still hate the internet. I'm
it's
like,
not good. It's not a good place to be.
I'm really trying hard to occupy my time. Because you just get sucked into it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that doom scrolling. And it's like... You know, and then I'm like, dang, I wanted to do something. And I've been, you know,
I was here an hour ago. Yeah. Fuck. Girl.
I know.
Well, I wanted to bring something up because the legislature this year banned this hemp oil that a lot of these companies where you can just buy gummies here that have like this THC or what's not THC? What's it called?
It's something eight.
Delta eight. It makes it legal to buy it because it's not weed. It's not THC, but it's this delta, but it still gets you high. And people,
it's like relaxing.
Yeah, you don't
It's like a St. John's wort.
Yeah, you don't need a card to go get it. Yeah. Like you can just go buy these things. Okay.
And well, I think it's also in like selves and stuff because like I know like when I have massage work done, sometimes they use. A certain type that has, I think, that stuff in it because it's like anti-inflammatory and it helps. So there's like people that, you know, it's used for all sorts of things.
Right. And they were doing this and the advocates that were going up and testifying saying, please don't do this. There's one woman called the Weed Mother, I think her name is. Her daughter suffers from seizures. What's that called?
Epilepsy. I saw
and
this.
And so she's for years advocated and actually was a big part of this part, this hemp part being legalized in Florida and has been continued to fight to keep it because people like her daughter don't have seizures as often because she uses this little tiny medicated part. And so they banned that this year because fuck you. Yeah. Right. But you know what did pass and got signed? Our good friend Chip LaMarca's back, baby. Haven't mentioned him in a while. And I saw in the paper yesterday, because he did this last year and it finally is now, is stores can now sell larger bottles of wine. So here in Broward County, in Lighthouse Point, they went. DeSantis was here yesterday or Thursday and signed this bill at a wine store that the guy's really good friends with Chip LaMarca. And Chip LaMarca, of course, was there. And I wanted to tell you what he said.
Oh, let me hear.
Quote. This is an Italian-American owned business, an Italian-American governor, an Italian-American state representative. Wine is a big part of our culture, whether it's the Italian side or the American side. I thought, I wonder if Tina would agree with giant bottles of wine being a part of your culture.
Yeah.
And are you okay with this statement? Because I got to tell you, when you're banning something, but then cheering on the legalization of giant 4.5, 6 liter bottles of wine.
Why did they need it a giant bottle like that?
It was against. It's weird. So I don't know. But apparently it was against the law that you couldn't sell these giant bottles of wine. And there was like some sort of loophole that Chip LaMarca was. It was his bill.
Why is it? This is what he's working on?
This is what he's working on.
We have. Listen. I can't drive 5 minutes down my street without being caught in a traffic jam.
Yeah, but you know.
I might need the big gallon of wine to get me through this, but then I'd get a DUI.
Yeah.
I mean, do you need a big, when I think of big giant bottles of wine, like I think of like, you know, my uncle Zitolo, who used to have like the barrels. He had the big, when he made wine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I think of. And then you fill up.
Well, that's probably illegal anyway.
Is that illegal?
I don't know.
Was it illegal to make? He had
don't
like
arrest
three.
Him.
Well, I mean.
Oh, he's passed. Oh,
long past. Yeah. But you said the big wooden barrels.
Yeah.
That's what I think about. But you still put in a little decanter. Who's putting a big, I don't know. To me, that seems cheap. Like, not cheap, but like, no. I don't know.
They're allowing them to sell these giant. This was his big
this
thing.
This isn't being Italian American. This is called capitalism and corporate greed.
Yeah. And so
that's what this is.
Here's another way. I got to get to this other part because it was so fucking. Because, of course, the
and
governor
a
went
giant
on.
Bottle like that. How many glasses is there? Eight instead of four?
I don't know. But the governor went on to talk about wine and being a part of American history. Can you believe this? And then after the signing the legislation, this is so fucking good. Hold on.
What is wrong
I
with
just,
this man?
You know how fucking, how awkward DeSantis is? Like, this is just so funny to me because I can imagine him, like, holding it by the stem, like,
oh
his fingers. Like,
he's
this, so awkward.
Hands.
And so this it says, after the legislation, DeSantis joined in a toast to the new law, seeming to enjoy the glass of red. He said, quote, some tannins, right? Like, he took a sip and he was like, tannins.
Oh, so he looked up. He
and then he had to say, quote, usually not part of my morning routine, just so everybody knows. Quote.
Oh, we know. Please.
What do you mean? Maybe Italian American? You don't
maybe
do.
Maybe have a little nip of wine.
Yeah,
in
you
the
don't
morning.
Have any wine in the morning?
My
I
God.
Thought that was part of your culture. What
oh
are you talking
God.
About?
Oh, my God.
What the fuck is this guy going
some
on about?
Tannis. He went, he like looked up, he called his sommelier and was like, can you please give me, I need some language.
Sommelier.
I need
Tina.
Some language.
Can you believe this? As an Italian-American and an Italian-American governor, and I'm Italian-American. Fuck you. Fuck you. You look like an Italian. That fucking suit every second with the fucking suit with DeSantis. And I mean, DeMarco with the little, with the pocket fucking thing.
Oh,
the
please.
You're trying too hard, bro.
Please.
And I didn't know they sold suits in the juniors department. God damn, with his fucking wine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought about all the things that we're suffering
there's
from.
There's so many things.
You know, you're going to need those big bottles of wine when you lose your house because you can't afford the insurance.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Jeez.
No gummies, but you know what? Y'all can get drunk in about 5 gallons of wine tomorrow. That's okay. Fuck you.
That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
That's because nobody in the Florida legislature invests in one of these gummy shops. Maybe y'all should do that.
Yeah.
Then you'll fight a little bit harder to keep them around because you just put a ton of businesses out of business. Tons of businesses. What are they supposed to do? They're going to sue. I mean, it'll probably take years for this to happen.
Well, they'll sue and then they could still, you know, I guess sell their paraphernalia or whatever else they're selling in
My
there.
My God.
You leave know, people alone, man.
Let people be. See, that's the problem. Is like people need welfare to get through a hard time. And what happens is now we have welfare queens, right? They're going to tell you, oh, there's people taking advantage of the system. There's people who take advantage of the system all the time. But the majority of people using it are using it for good intentions. People who are struggling.
Right.
You know, it's very unfair to just lump everybody together. Same thing with immigrants. Pieces of shit. God. By the way, there was a letter in the paper this morning, Saturday, Sun Sentinel, talking about immigrants and how dare anybody talk about every single person here is an immigrant and blah, blah, blah. Except, yo, you forgot to leave out that not every single person here is an immigrant. Like, so there were people here. Not everybody came from somewhere. So let's all remember that, too. We are all immigrants. Agreed.
Right.
But not indigenous folks. We're fucking here. Yeah. All right, my last thing is that Beyonce put out an album yesterday, and I fucking love it.
Okay, wait, didn't she do a Dolly Parton?
Jolene. Girl.
I heard
but
that
the
that
words
was...
are changed. It's all new lyrics. It's the same chorus, same song, but music, but it's new lyrics.
I have to listen.
Instead
of
it's like...
I saw Dolly put a thing out that was just like,
yeah, she's on the album. She introduces the song. Willie Nelson's on there. He's introducing the songs. Okay, we all know what happened here, right? We know why Beyonce made this album. Are you aware of this?
I don't really know much.
So in 2016, Remember when the Dixie Chicks were throwing the fuck out of country music because they told George W. Bush, fuck you, we don't stand with you? And the country artists wrote songs that Toby Keith, rest in hell.
Yeah.
He wrote all kinds of horrible things. Yeah. America can get the, they can kick and my, they kiss
changed,
my ass.
They changed their name. They're no longer the Dixie Chicks.
They're the Chicks.
They're the Chicks. Or,
so
yeah.
they were basically laughed out of country music or like thrown out of country music, ran over their things with bulldozers, right? Their albums. Anyway. Beyonce is going to perform at the Country Music Awards in 2016, and she asks the Dixie Chick, the Chicks, to go with her to perform good a song. Her. She was going to perform Daddy Lessons, which was from the Lemonade album. So they were like, okay, because they were huge activists. Yeah. Remember at the time, it was Trump was going into office.
Yeah.
So they did it with her, and they went on the stage. Well, apparently in the audience, people, Alan Jackson walked out. Like, people walked out. And there were people in the audience screaming, get that black bitch off the stage. There were people saying the N-word. And it was a horrible, horrible experience for her. They put, I put a clip up of Natalie Maines, who's the Chicks. She's a huge Howard Stern fan. She was on Howard Stern. She was talking about it. And I put the clip up. But basically, she was saying that afterwards, you know, they put the performances online. So when they put up that 15 minutes, it was the most watched 15 minutes ever in CMA history. But all the comments under the video, like on YouTube and on the website, were like racist as fuck. So CMA took it down.
Wow.
And then got so much backlash for that, they put it back up. So she, Beyonce was experiencing all of this on this country music stage. And that set the stage for, now I'm going to go to country music and I'm going to show you all what the fuck is
up.
Okay?
Let's go.
So this album is 5 years in the making.
I am covered in goosebumps right now.
It's fucking incredible. It opens up with a song called American Requiem. It's brilliant. And then I'm going to cry. The second song is Blackbird. And it's called Blackbird, but I did not expect to hear like, I did not expect to hear the Beatles. It blew me away because we know what that song is about. It's about black women struggling in the South during the Civil Rights Movement. It's a fucking... I can't even believe the Beatles and Beyonce like live in the same world. Like, that was blowing me away to hear her sing that song. And also because the song still resonates today, to hear a black woman in 2024 sing the song with other black women country artists in doing the vocals on it. It's fucking brilliant beyond anything I've ever heard in my fucking life. Like, I'm telling you,
this song blew me the fuck away.
That cover... It hits on so many fucking levels. I don't even have words to describe it. Because she's telling you, like, this is... And then one song after the other was so fucking beautiful. The Willie Nelson introducing... It was like changing a station. And one station after the other, when it was like, it was called Willie Nelson Smoke Hour. And when you hear it changing... It's playing one black country artist after the other. But it was before country. Because what these motherfuckers don't understand.
Right.
Is that country music, all of country music, is rooted in black history.
Yeah.
Slave songs. Gospel. Soul music. Blues. It all comes.
All of it.
From fucking. That country music comes from black people.
Folk. It's folk and like early folk.
So this
folk,
black, the greatest, one of the most recognizable, will go down in history, is one of the greatest black artists of all time, is standing on your motherfucking stage and you have the balls to say to her, she's not welcome. Her and her fucking ancestors gave you that fucking music. How dare you? And she fucking told you. And it's changing the stations, going from like Fats Domino to another one. It's like, that's right. This is country radio, bitch. This is country. Alan Jackson, Toby Keith. You can thank every fucking black artist that is never, you won't even ever know their fucking names. They gave you this. Fuck
the
you.
Just,
it's just fucking, it's fucking brilliant.
There's, I can't wait to hear this.
The songs are beautiful. So Dolly Parton introduces that and was like, ooh, you got a Jolene too? Like, she was doing it. It was so fucking good. But her Jolene is, I'm going to come get you, bitch. That's what hers is. Like, don't even fucking think about it. Hers is a little bit more, you know, in your face, which is so good. And then my favorites are American Requiem, Blackbird, Just for Fun, Alligator Tears, Ya-Ya, which is like this Fleetwood Mac kind of vibes, is so good. She samples These Boots Are Made for Walking from and all these artists are so excited. Miley Cyrus does a fucking song with her that's called Two Most Wanted. It's this girls duet It's all like right. a Thelma all and right. Louise right. fucking.
I'm doing this. This is my day. My day is this.
Yes, Post Malone has a song with her on there. It's fucking great, called Levi's Jeans. So fucking. You know what? And I gotta tell you, I like Beyonce, but I'm not like, I go to her albums and right. I like their
You're
singles.
You're not part of the Beehive.
I'm not, there's songs that I like. I don't think I'd ever go see her a show. I just, it's not, that's not, I'm not, that's not my gig. But this fucking album,
ooh.
I am so fucking impressed by her. It's almost like the planning and the execution, it could not have been done better. And she actually put a post up that said, like, when it was the Super Bowl, remember she wore that cowboy hat?
Yeah.
And she put a post up and said, Cowboy Carter's coming out this day. And she wrote about, this came from a very painful experience I had a few years ago. Like, and also when her song Texas Hold'em came out, it was the number one song. And there was country stations in America that would not play it. You would not what? Play it.
I
number
hate,
one
I
song
hate
on the country charts, and these motherfuckers wouldn't play it.
I hate people.
And you know, I know it's Beyonce, it's music, it's whatever. It goes to the tone of what this country's about. You cannot sit here in 2024 and tell me this country isn't racist. It's even racist here.
We're more,
with a very wealthy woman.
I feel like we're more racist than ever.
Yeah. Girl. Anyway. Blew wow. me away. I was all day listening to that Blackbird and thinking, it's just the impact of, I got to tell you, here's another thing I thought. She knows who the Beatles are? Do you know what I mean? Like, Beyonce is so, like, removed from the world that you don't really know a lot of what's happening with
right.
her. And so to think that Paul McCartney and John Lennon exist in the same world with Beyonce, it just, when you think of it yeah. on that level, you're yeah. like, how is this even a fucking thing?
It's incredible.
It's incredible. Because also, she's not someone who needs to cover someone's songs. Like, she has her own songs.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't need to cover songs, but there's a very specific reason she chose this song. And it couldn't have been done more well done.
That sounds so good.
It's so fucking good. It's so fucking good, girl. All right, let's get into this because
okay.
I'm going to cover the Yablonsky murders.
Oh.
Now, I found this story thanks to Killian Murphy.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why at the end. Okay. All right.
He's got the best memes.
So good.
His stairs.
So Joseph Yablonsky was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're going back to the Berg today, folks.
Yeah, we're back in my town. Let's go. Back in the Berg.
Back to the Berg.
Let's go. So
he was born on March 3rd, 1910, as the son of Polish immigrants. After attending public schools, Yablonsky began working in the mines as a boy, joining his father in the mining industry, coal mining. After his father was killed in a mine explosion, Yablonsky became active in the United Mine Workers and began to advocate for better working conditions. He was first elected to union office in 1934, and in 1940, Yablonsky was elected as a representative to the International Executive Board. In 1958, he was appointed president of the UMW District 5, and as a young man, Yablonsky married Anne Marie Huffman. Their son, Kenneth J. Yablonsky, was born in 1934, and after Yablonsky and Huffman were divorced, he married Margaret Rita Wozczyk, an amateur playwright.
Oh.
They had two children, Joseph Chip and Charlotte Yablonsky. Both sons became labor attorneys, representing the father in the union activities and later in private practices. Charlotte became a social worker in Clarksville, Pennsylvania, where she lived with her family, or where her family lived. Yablonsky clashed with Tony Boyle. So the father was fighting with this guy, Tony Boyle, who was elected president of the whole UMW in 1963.
Oh.
And they fought a lot about, you know, so he's a District 5. Like, think of, like, you know, under the umbrella, there's
right.
different districts. And so he's
fighting with the Ming dude.
The Ming guy.
Okay.
And they fought about how the union should be run. And Yablonsky believed that Boyle did not adequately represent the miners and was too cozy with the mining owners. In 1965, Boyle removed Yablonsky as president of District 5.
Uh-oh.
And so he was able to do this because he changed the rules, and district presidents were appointed by him rather than elected by union members of their district.
Sounds like
which
DeSantis.
Gives him more control. Right.
Changing rules
yeah.
halfway through.
And don't you think members...
What kind of union person is to doing yeah. shit like this? It's like defeats
members
the purpose of,
elect
of
who they
unionizing.
Want?
Yeah.
Who will fight for them?
Wow.
Yeah.
People in power, man.
So of course, by 1969, the United Mine Workers was in turmoil. And legendary UMWA president John L. Lewis had retired in 1960. His successor, Thomas Kennedy, died in 1963. And then from retirement, Lewis handpicked Boyle to be the president of this union. A Montana miner, Boyle was an autocratic and bullying as Lewis, but not well-liked. And from the beginning of his administration, Boyle faced significant opposition from rank-and-file miners and UMWA leaders. Miners' attitudes about their union had also changed. Miners wanted greater democracy and more autonomy for their local unions, their districts.
Well, yeah. Because someone who's on top isn't going to know their specific needs. And, you know,
they also there was also a widespread belief that Boyle was more concerned with protecting mine owners' interests than those of his members. Grievances filed by the union often took months, sometimes years to resolve, lending credence to the critics' claim. So wildcat strikes, which are strikes that are not approved by the board, started happening in local unions. Despairing of UMWA assistance sought to resolve local disputes with walkouts. So instead of the union going, okay, like negotiating and saying, if we don't get this, we're going to walk out on you, mine owners. These guys are just doing like, it on their own. Fuck you, we're leaving.
Okay, because they don't have trust in their union. Yeah.
Right. So in walks Yablonski to challenge Boyle. So all of this led up to Yablonski challenging Boyle for the presidency in 1969. Yeah. And he was the first anti-administration insurgent candidate in 40 years.
Wow.
Because this Lewis and the Kennedy guy, you know what I mean? They're it was like changing hands.
They're not going to want this.
Yeah.
They don't want some rogue, dude.
Yeah. In an election widely seen as corrupt, Boyle beat Yablonski in the election held on December 9th, 1969, by a margin of nearly 2-1. So it was 80,577 votes to 46,073.
Wow. Oh, so
now you would think if there's turmoil, why would this guy
get elected?
So on December 18th, 1969, he asked the United States Department of Labor to investigate the election for fraud. That's what Yablonski did. He also initiated 5 civil lawsuits against UMWA in federal court on related matters. He alleged that, Boyle and UMWA had denied him use of the union's mailing lists as provided for by law so he can send out his mailers. He had been removed from his position as acting director of Labor's nonpartisan league in retaliation for his candidacy. The UMW Journal was being used by Boyle as a campaign and propaganda mouthpiece.
Oh my God.
The UMWA had no rules for fair elections and had printed nearly 51,000 excess ballots, which should have been destroyed. And UMWA had violated its fiduciary duties by spending union funds on Boyle's reelection. All bad, by the way.
Wow.
All bad.
No way.
These charges in the resolution are outlined in the civil case Kenneth J. Yablonski and Joseph A. Yablonski versus United States Mine Workers. Those are his sons, and they end up carrying this case forward. So let's get into the murders.
Plural?
Girl. On December 31st, 1969, 3 hitmen fatally shot Yablonski, his wife Margaret, and his 25-year-old daughter Charlotte as they slept in their home in Clarksville, Pennsylvania.
Why not just kill the dude?
Girl.
I mean, not to kill him, but like, why would you take the whole family out? Wow.
It's fucked up.
No.
It's fucked up.
No. I mean, it's messed up just to kill the dude.
No, it's all over a fucking union.
Over a union, but I mean, I feel like in any kind of organized crime, like, family is always protected. Like, what are they doing?
Wife and children, no.
Why would they kill this young girl?
Ugh. An investigation found that the killings had been ordered by Boyle, who had demanded Yablonski's death on June 23rd, 1969, after a meeting with Yablonski at the UMWA headquarters degenerated into a shouting match. So this is 6 months earlier. He was saying to people, I want him killed.
Wow. So he was like, well, maybe let's wait for the election.
Yeah.
And then after the election, maybe he thought, okay, we'll see what happens. But then the lawsuit goes forward and he's like, you know what? F this guy.
Well, in September 1969, so 3 months after he had first said this, UMWA executive council member Albert Pass received $20,000 from Boyle, who had embezzled the money from union funds, of course.
Wow.
Which is why he's really fighting for.
Yeah.
He's really fighting to stay in power, to have access to money.
To money, yeah.
And the power of it all, right? He paid it to him to hire gunmen to kill Yablonski. So he hired Paul Eugene Gilly, an out-of-work house painter, and his son-in-law, Silius Huddleston, and two drifters, Aubryn Wayne Martin and Claude Edward Veeley.
I always love that. Like, where do you find a random drifter?
Girl, you go know, to you're the like, park across the street.
I know, but then you're like, hey, man, let me give you this much. Yeah. I feel like that is the worst thing that you could do is like randomly pick up a drifter yeah. and ask them to kill someone. Like that is,
yeah.
it's never going to go well. You need someone you can somewhat trust, some rando drifter.
Remember the mayor of Chicago that I did a story on? He was killed in Miami.
Yeah.
And they were like, they just randomly hired. The mob has people yeah. that they trust that will kill people. Yeah. They don't pick up randos.
Yeah.
To get the job done.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I mean, if you're going to do it, don't get a drifter. By the way, it's so insulting to drifters. Like, maybe they just don't want to live in a house. Maybe yeah. they're just, like, fucking living life.
Yeah.
They're not murderers. Does that mean they're a murderer? Like, yeah. fuck you. How dare you?
Okay. So insulting.
It's insulting to the drifter. So the murder was ordered postponed after the election, however, to avoid suspicion falling on Boyle. Bitch.
It's 2 months later.
Everybody knows you hate each other. Yeah. Like, after three aborted attempts to murder Yablonski, the killers had completed the assassination, deciding to kill everyone in the house. Oh, they left so many fingerprints behind. The police identified and captured them within 3 days.
Oh, my God.
Now, this is the drifter. This is a drifter conversation.
What
like,
kind of dum-dums? No. You guys are dumb.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And why are you doing this? For who? For Boyle?
Oh, my God.
A few hours after Yablonski's funeral, several of the miners who had supported Yablonski met in the basement of the church where the memorial service was held. They met with attorney Joseph Rao and drew up plans to establish a reform caucus within the United Mine Workers. The day after the bodies of the Yablonskis were discovered, 20,000 miners in West Virginia walked off the job in a one-day strike protesting against Boyle, who they believed was responsible for the murders. It's almost like it was an open conversation that this guy was behind it, you know?
Wow.
Gilly, Martin, and Veeley were arrested days after the assassination and indicted for Yablonski's death. All were convicted of first-degree murder. Gilly and Veeley were sentenced to death. The death sentence were later reduced to prison and life in prison. Martin avoided execution by pleading guilty and turning state's evidence. That's right. Sing, bitch, because... Eventually, investigators arrested Paul Gilley's wife, Annette Lucy Gilley, her father, Silius Huddleston, Albert Pass, who had taken the money and given it to them, and Pass's wife. Like, they all knew and knew what was happening. Wow. Did nothing to stop it.
They didn't say anything.
All were convicted of murder and conspiracy to commit murder and trials extending into 1973. Both Annette Gilley and her father, Silius Huddleston, pleaded guilty in 1972, receiving life sentences to avoid the death penalty. A total of 7 persons were convicted of murder and conspiracy to commit murder.
Wow.
Meanwhile.
I mean, you've destroyed your entire family's lives.
And killed these 3 people. Meanwhile, Boyle was not arrested. Because they don't have enough evidence yet to get him.
What?
So what happens is he continues to run.
No, he doesn't. He's continuing to run all of this. And they all know he's a murderer. And everyone associated with him is in jail.
Yeah. Okay.
Please tell me they don't.
Girl, let's get to this. So now we got to get into this investigation of was this election rigged? We're still talking about that. Although at this point,
who cares? Yeah. I mean, people are dead.
I mean, it's not good. So on January 8th, 1970, Yablonski's attorney waived the right to further internal review of the election by the union and requested an immediate investigation by the Department of Labor into what had happened here. Because obviously these people are going to be quite biased. So on January 17th, 1972, so now 2 years later, the United States Supreme Court granted Mike Trobovich, a 51-year-old coal miner, shuttle car operator, and union member from District 5, permission to intervene in the Department of Labor suit as a complainant, which kept Yablonski's election fraud suit alive. Because otherwise they would have thrown it out.
Right.
So this guy's going, well, I've been affected by this, so put my name on it to keep it going. So Labor Secretary George P. Schultz assigned 230 investigators to this investigation, and Attorney General Mitchell ordered the FBI to join the murder inquiry.
Ooh.
The Labor Management Reporting and Disclosure Act of 1959 regulates the internal affairs of labor unions, requiring regular secret ballot elections for local union offices and providing for federal investigations of election fraud or impropriety. So Department of Labor is authorized under this act to sue in federal court to have the election overturned. Okay, so now they have to have another presidential election. And Miners for Democracy, which was this new caucus inside of the union that formed in 1970, while this investigation for the election was continuing, they're investigating it. Its members included most of the miners who belonged to that West Virginia Black Lung Association, which he was a part of, and Yablonski's supporters and former campaign staff. The chief organizers for Miners for Democracy included Yablonski's sons, Joseph and Ken, and other union members.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. The DOL, Department of Labor, filed suit in federal court in 1971 to overturn the 1969 election. After lengthy delays, the suit went to trial in September of 1971. And then on May 1st, 1972, Judge William Bryant threw out the results of that election. So now we're back at square one. Boyle's got to run again. Bryant scheduled a new election to be held during the first 8 days of December 1972. And December 1969, these people were killed. Now, 3 years later, we're going to have a new election.
And he's just like, hi.
Yeah.
Wow.
In addition, Bryant agreed that the Department of Labor should oversee the election to ensure fairness. On May 28th, 1972, the MFD candidate, Arnold Miller, a miner from West Virginia who challenged Boyle for the presidency, that's who he's going to run against, right? Okay. Because Boyle has not been arrested yet, he runs again. And balloting for the next UMWA president began on December 1st, 1972. Balloting ended on December 9th, and Miller was declared the winner.
Thank God.
On December 5th.
I was waiting. I'm like, 15th. Please don't tell me this Boyle's guy.
No, and the Department of Labor certified him as the winner. He won by like 20 or 14,000 votes or something.
Oh, thank
but
God.
Boyle still got 56,000 votes. Now, what is going on?
Well, it's the same people voting for Trump. Yeah.
The same thing.
Like what?
Okay, so finally, two of the convicted murderers had accused Boyle of masterminding and funding the assassination plot. The murder investigation and confessions of other conspirators revealed the financial and other trails leading back to Boyle.
Oh, thank God.
In April 1973, he was indicted on 3 counts of murder and convicted in April 1974. He was sentenced to 3 consecutive life terms in prison, where he died in 1985.
Wow.
Bye. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
But he was out living free for too many years after that.
That's crazy.
Posthumously, which I now know how to say because I've practiced it, in 1973, Yablonski posthumously... received the Samuel S. Beard Award for greatest public service by an individual 35 years or under, and which is made annually by the Jefferson Awards. In 1995, the Pennsylvania Historical and Museum Commission installed a historical marker in California, Pennsylvania, commemorating Yablonski's life and work. The Joseph A. Yablonski Memorial Clinic in Fredericktown, Pennsylvania, one of the Centerville Health Clinics, was renamed to honor Yablonski. It was originally the Union Miners Building, Inc., which opened in 1955.
Wow.
So,
tell me.
Cillian Murphy was signed on to star in the movie Blood Runs Cold, C-O-A-L.
Oh.
The film will be a scripted adaptation of Blood Runs Cold, the Yablonski murders, and the battle for the United Mine Workers of America.
Oh, I got goosebumps.
A true crime book written by Mark A. Bradley, and it was published in 2020. Murphy will play the role of Chip Yablonski, which is Joseph Yablonski's son, who narrowly avoided the murders that killed his family because he was not home.
Wow.
And dedicated his life as an attorney to seeking justice for his father, who was embroiled in this political rivalry of the United Mine Workers.
Ooh.
With Tony Boyle. So he's playing the son.
I love that actor.
Cillian Murphy.
Hey.
Ay, ay, ay. This is going to be a good movie.
Ooh.
But also, how sad.
No, it's just terrible.
Oh, my God.
I'm definitely going to watch the movie, though.
Oh, my God.
It's poor family. So I'm watching a new show.
Yeah.
It is so funny.
What is it?
It's called The Gentleman. It's by Guy Ritchie.
Oh.
It is so good. It's got the guy that played Fring in Breaking Bad, Los Pollos.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
He's so good.
Yeah.
It is the funniest.
Is it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. It's like this guy inherits like his... I mean, you see it on the plot. I'm not revealing anything. Like, so this guy, his dad's like a duke or something, and it's him and his brother and his sister, and the brother is the older brother, supposed to get the title and the money, but the dad gives it to him as the second born.
Boy.
Because the firstborn's like, you know, all drugged out.
Yeah.
And then he finds out that like his dad has this like whole secret like marijuana ring.
Oh my God.
There is a scene in the second episode with this chicken suit. Girl, I It is. It's like,
I'm glad. Listen,
it's like a Breaking Bad, but funny. You know what I mean?
I'm glad that I'm finally getting a funny recommendation, because this bitch over here,
I know,
recommends to me Quiet on the Set, which I finished. And we talked about this, I think, on Monday at our trivia, but like, girl, these parents,
I don't know what they're doing.
No, ma'am.
It's not worth it. Like, your dreams for money and fame and stardom, it's not worth the damage. And now everyone's talking about, like, even Justin Bieber, where they're like, something must have happened. And now that whole
P. Diddy
stuff coming out. I mean, we've all heard it before.
Yeah, but even, like, I've seen interviews now where someone goes, oh, when I, there was a guy who's, I saw this, he was being interviewed on that Joy Reid, and he was saying, oh, a family member of mine, I asked Sean Combs if he could be an intern for him. And so he said, sure, sure. So he was an intern for a few months. Everything was going great. He was going on this trip, that trip, whatever. Well, all of a sudden he quit. And he kept asking him, like, what happened? What happened? And the family member was like, I don't want to get into whatever. Finally, he tells him months later that Sean Combs allegedly said to him, come home and spend the night with me or you're going to lose your job. Because that's the other thing that's coming out. Like, there's gay sex.
Which is fine, but not rape.
But you don't also, not an employee.
Not rape.
And not a child or whatever.
And not rape.
The guy said no and he got fired. Now, this guy who's telling the story openly on Joy Reid did nothing. Never called Sean Combs about it. Didn't call the police. Like, which is the same thing I say about this woman whose daughter in Quiet on the Set.
Oh my God.
Her daughter is 10 years old and gets a video sent to her of a guy jerking off.
Yeah.
In an email, and the girl like runs to her room and he says in the email, just wanted you to know that I was thinking about you, as he was jerking off to a 10-year-old girl.
Disgusting.
Okay. Do you know what the mother did?
Nothing.
Did she call the police?
And her whole thing was like, somebody else getting hurt? In trouble. How are you getting in trouble?
They're going to judge me as a mother.
Who cares? Judge all you want.
Here's another thing.
Just say, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize what I was getting my child into. Yeah.
So that
what
maybe,
is wrong with you? And so how many other kids?
That's right. This guy could have said something about P. Diddy, about Sean Combs abusing young people working for him, and did nothing. And how many young girls and boys went through this?
Thing.
You know, y'all need to step up. What are they going to do?
Who cares? Like, their fame,
what are they going to do?
Doesn't make them good people.
This woman with the video or the email, I didn't want them to judge me as a parent. I got to tell you, this narcissistic centering yourself when your child was just exposed to a fucking pedophile at a very young age, and you don't care about anybody outside of your house being affected in that. Like, this affects people for the rest of their lives. Their lives are changed forever, and you did nothing to stop it because you were thinking about yourself. And let me say something else. If you don't know this already, I screamed about that dance. I watched our episode last week, and I'm screaming about that sexy dancing. Listen, and I heard from people, and they said to me, but it's only sexual if you see it that way. Okay, let me say something. I don't have to see it anyway. I'm very aware that the world is full of fucking dirtbags and pedophiles. I made sure my daughter was not dressed inappropriately. I know the fashion is to wear these fucking yoga pants, but when I see young girls wearing yoga pants, I'm sorry. Little girls should not be wearing yoga pants. Is that a thing? Am I crazy? Because I know what's going on. And when you think it's okay for someone to email your child, when a 20-year-old man wants to email your 10-year-old and you think it's cute because they have a friendship, nothing an adult should be friends with a child over.
The whole time. So I listened to, because I was reading stuff about it, and then I had read that the two guys from Boy Meets World who had written letters. So I read a thing that they had addressed this like a month ago before this documentary came out, because I guess they heard that maybe their names were going to be released. And so they have a podcast called like Podcast Meets World or Boy Meets Podcast, something like that. I don't know. So I went to like just that episode, and it's Topanga is the chick, and then it's the two of them. One that plays the older brother, one plays like Sean, like the broken, damaged friend guy. And they addressed it, and they talked about how like this guy, and they had a psychologist on there, and how like he ingratiated himself in their lives, and they were on the set with him on that show, and he would do things, this is according to them, like they would be like, oh, you know, I was with Leo DiCaprio the other day.
Ooh, I
was
with this one the other day.
I was with that. And so they're like, wow, like, yeah, we're these TV stars, but we want to be movie stars. We want, and he knows all these people and he makes himself seem so cool and fun and like, yeah, he was older.
But
he was like, you know, we were kids going to like parties and stuff, and he would show up and he was just like, oh, this big kid. And so the one guy, he goes, I feel so horrible that I even wrote that letter. He's like, I was on the wrong side of that. And I knew it then, like because that guy had said, no, this isn't what happened. Dude. It was this, that, and the other. And they believed him because they're like, we were friends with it. Why would I think my friend is this monster?
I'm sorry. Maybe I have a dark way of viewing the world. Maybe I do. Maybe because I was abused as a child.
Right.
So I know what it looks like. But there's nothing worse or creepier than an adult that's a big kid.
Yeah, it's
weird. There's something fucking wrong with an adult who wants to be a big kid and play with kids.
It's weird.
Y'all better look out for your children. And I can't watch another fucking documentary of people who go into cults and don't know that they're targeting their children or this fucking shit.
Yeah.
Do you think that people that, if your child wants to be an actor, they can wait till 18 and go to fucking Hollywood.
Right.
You don't need help from a fucking nobody on a set who knows Leonardo DiCaprio, which by the way, somebody better start asking Leonardo DiCaprio and Ariana Grande some fucking questions because something's wrong.
Well, and the thing is too,
I'm sorry. No, this big kid thing really bothers me. It bothers me. And I always told my daughter, if some adult's like, I really need you to help me. I'm lost. Do you know, or do you need help? Can you help me find my dog? Or can you help me find the store? Or ask you to come over to the car? Adults don't need help from
you. They don't need help.
Adults don't need help from children. Adults don't need to be friends with children. No. And if you are not aware of that, there's something you really need to take a test as a parent. There's it's no weird. Coach. There's no teacher. There's no friend in the business. There's nobody that's going to become between here and my child. And if that happened and they said, well, we're going to have to kick your mom off the set. Well, then my child is leaving with me. My child is coming with me.
Right.
We don't need this. This is not, It's one thing to allow yourself to be abused, right? Like as an adult, like you're in a relationship and it's not good and you could take yourself out of it, but you are the only protector of your children and you have failed to protect them. And you don't know that there's people who want to hurt your children at Publix when you're walking down the aisle.
It's
you don't
weird.
See those eyeballs.
Ew.
I saw it my whole life as a little girl and I see the eyeballs on my daughter as a 10-year-old, as a 12-year-old, as a 15-year-old. I see the people looking.
Right.
And they don't know she looks like a 15-year-old girl. And there's no reason a man should give eyeballs up and down of my fucking daughter.
It's gross.
Okay? It happened at 8 years old at the fucking Halloween over here at the city.
Yeah.
She was wearing a leotard and tights and she had cat ears on. And there was a man who looked at her like she was a roasted chicken dinner.
It's disgusting.
If you're not aware, I know we all want our daughters to look older. Stop. Let them be children and protect them from the creeps because they're every fucking where.
Let me tell you.
And be aware of it. You have to be the one that's aware of it. They don't know.
Well, that Topanga chick, she was talking and she was like, because they were kids and he was hanging out.
Girl.
And she's like, now she's on a show where I guess they rebooted it or something. I don't know. And she's like, you know, and the kids on the set are like, come hang out. And she's like, and I'm like, guys, go hang out with each other. I don't want to hang out with you. And she's like, as an adult now, I'm like, what the hell? But she's like, but at the time when we're 15 and 16, we think, oh, this older guy wants to hang out. That's cool. You know what I mean?
Like, I totally understand it. So, I got the family. I understood. Yeah.
Like from the parents, kids' point of view.
I totally understood
it's not the kid's fault when you have an adult who like is being really cool and talking about the things you like. And you're like, oh, he's treating me like I'm older. And like, so you fall in and you trust that
if it's a work situation and you're working and you're on the set or whatever, that father talking about, he can put his own shirt on.
Like, yes.
There's a line that's crossed and it's not okay.
No,
it's not okay.
It's weird.
And I understand. And also as a society, we admire and look up to fame and that's a thing. And it's worse with social media. It's like worse with social media and people are dying to be famous for God knows what reason. Why don't we teach kids what's really important? And that's protecting your space, protecting your body, saying no, putting up boundaries. That's all way more important than fucking fame. that goes nowhere, that means nothing. It means fucking nothing at the end of the day. These kids were not protected. Their parents tried their best, but there's some that did not understand that predators exist. And that is frightening to me. That's crazy.
I remember being 12 or 13. I think I've told this story in the podcast before. I was 12 or 13 walking home from school with a couple of friends. And this guy followed us driving very slowly. It was over a couple of days.
I believe it.
And then on the last day, he was like masturbating in the car.
That's happened to me twice
as a kid.
And
we ran to some random person's banging on the door, and he, you know, sped off and never happened again. But we were so scared.
Yeah. That happened to me twice as a child. One time at the fucking Mickle Field, my sister and her friend and I were walking from the concession stand back up to over to the baseball field, which is just this little walk. It's through the parking lot over to the baseball field. And we were walking, and this guy was driving very slow. And he's like, "Hey, can you guys help me?" And we walk over and he's jerking off. I was maybe 12. And we're like, "Oh my God," we started screaming, and he sped off.
It's disgusting.
And they had to call the police. This is what little girls are dealing with, y'all.
Yeah.
This is what...
There
was a guy when I was 14. I was riding my bike down Federal Highway to go back to my house in Wilton Manors. I'm coming down Federal Highway, and this guy, I saw him watching me in this red Trans Am, and I was trying to get fast as home as possible. And so I cut through this one parking lot on the corner of 26th Street and Federal to go underneath this one thing to get right back on the sidewalk on 26 to avoid the corner. And he came around and U-turned and came into the parking lot and cut me off where I had to stop my bike. And I don't know how, but an angel, this man comes up in a truck and pulls immediately and goes, "Are you okay?" Because he saw this fucking guy. And the guy sped off and I was able to get back on my bike and move. But this guy was trying some bullshit.
Right. Oh my God.
We all have these stories.
There was a guy, I worked at Publix when I was as a bagger when I was like 14. And there was a guy that everybody nicknamed Harry Palmer because he would go and masturbate in the bathrooms and like he would watch the baggers. And like the adults go, "Oh, here's Harry Palmer. We got to call," you know, and they would call. But he was known, and any time we saw him, he would be like lingering outside, you know, and watching us like putting the carts back.
You know what?
Disgusting.
By the way, this piggybacks on our conversation from the beginning of this podcast. This is our experience as children, as girls being looked at like that and treated like that. Okay. It's disgusting. No, and then we're being punched in the face because people are angry. Men are angry. When do we have peace? Where's the fucking peace for us? Fuck this. That's why I have no sympathy for you motherfuckers. "I can't get a job because DEI. Fuck you. Work harder.
Right.
Work harder, bitch. Fuck you. No one will fuck me. I wonder why. You pathetic piece of shit. I hope you hear my voice in your head at night.
Dang.
Fucking losers.
And on that note.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. Motherfuckers trying to hurt people.
Oh God, I hate
people. Just want to exist.
I know. We want to be kids.
I'm just trying to exist.
We want
to
be kids.
I don't
kids,
need
man.
A 5-gallon thing of wine. I just want to live, bro.
Yeah.
I want people to live. Leave me the fuck alone. My God. It's like they always want a piece of you.
Yeah.
Like when do we get peace of mind? Like when do we get it? Instead of taking constantly from us. You benefit, you make money off of our bodies, our images, the way we sound, the way we talk,
everything.
Who we are. You victimize us. You know, we're not good enough mothers, but we're going to tell you when you can become a mother. Like, it just doesn't fucking end.
Doesn't end. It's wild.
God. And you know what? I'd like to know that they have peace as men, but they don't. They're so angry.
Yeah.
They're so angry. What the fuck are you so angry about?
I know. We're the ones that need to
be
angry.
You got Top Gun 1 and 2. They're supposed to be both great movies. Isn't that enough for you?
Go figure something out.
Y'all.
Figure it out. Yeah. And if it's not working, figure something else out.
Yeah.
You know?
We don't need to give you advice.
No. You figure it out.
Yeah.
You're grown men.
Die angry. All right? All right.
Bye.
Bye.
If you want to see any photos or take a deeper dive into our stories, please go to our website, www.themuckpodcast.com, And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Muck Podcast and on our Twitter at Muck Podcast.
To support The Muck Podcast, please visit our Patreon page. We have three levels of support with exclusive content: Muckraker, Policy Wonk, or Bleeding Heart. We can't do this without you.